Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California, and we are in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And it's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee and come and reason together.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Jesse from Camas, Washington.
This is Landon from Camas, Washington.
And we are reading verses 1 through 13, Luke chapter 4. This is after all the long genealogy, and this is Jesus growing up and coming of full age and starting his ministry.
And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Spirit in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted of the devil. And he ate nothing in those days, and when they were completed, he hungered. And the devil said to him, "If thou art God's Son, say to this stone that it become bread." And Jesus answered unto him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the inhabited earth in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "To thee I will give the whole of this authority and the glory of them, because it has been delivered to me, and to whomever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship before me, it shall all be thine." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve." And he led him to Jerusalem and set him up on the wing of the temple and said to him, "If thou art God's Son, cast thyself down here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee to guard thee, and that on their hands they shall bear thee up, lest haply thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God." And when the devil had completed every temptation, he departed from him until a season.
Did you ever think about this? Any of you, have you ever thought about this being three things that are principal in our life? The three things Jesus was tested on these. Oh, backing up to Jesus, when he starts this in verse 1, he's 30 years of age. He's ready to go and become, this is the age of a priest, when they are a full age to be able to minister. He is 30 years of age, and he's going to live amongst men for 3.5 years. And he starts with this temptation. He is a lamb without spot or blemish of all those born. He's born of a woman. He is a man. He is a son of man. The book of Luke has proven that Jesus is, and with every detail, comes from Adam, a man, a fallen man. And so we found out in the other two chapters that he is the king. And this proves it again in the book of Luke, but he is the king, and he is the king of the kingdom of the heavens. In Mark, we proved that he comes as a servant, and he has come to serve us, and he has come to serve us as the Lamb of God. And to be the Lamb of God, you cannot have spot nor blemish. And then he is tested, the final test. But what are these three main things that, now put yourself in this. What does this first one mean to you, Landon? That a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It doesn't say all that there, but what's this first thing really talking about? Does it mean to read your Bible every day? Because if you're going to live by it, so what should be your breakfast?
The Bible.
What should be your lunch?
The Bible.
And how about your dinner?
The Bible.
What are you guys thinking?
Well, it says that we are to dwell on it, these things. Take in the Word of God and dwell on them.
So if you just eat it for lunch, if you read the Bible for lunch, you could do like a psalm in the morning. You could read later on, you could read maybe for lunch, maybe read the rest of the daily reading.
Well, when you're doing that, what are you not doing? You're not doing the things of you. You're putting the Word of God throughout your day.
And what's the next one that Jesus was tempted in? If you have any more to talk about that first one, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. And it's the rest of that is, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. And Jesus answered and said to them, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shalt thou serve. A lot of people serve money today, don't they? Or they try to be popular, especially a 12-year-old. It's that peer pressure. Have you heard about that in schools? You know, to be popular, they're going to entice you to do things that are not what God wants you to do. And the last one, what's that?
You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.
What does that really mean? You know, we can see what Jesus said here, because he was actually served a big, luscious enticement to have all these things, yet Jesus is the king over all the earth. So Satan offers him that, all these enticements. But Jesus knows the beginning from the end. A lot of people get enticed because they don't look at the end result of really what they're doing. So how about a person basing their lives on these three major points? These are the big three temptations, aren't they? When you really think about it, these are the big three. Have you ever given place to think about these? The first is maybe the temptation was in the flesh, and the second maybe the soul, and the final one maybe the test of his heart. And I actually think it was first a flesh test. He was hungry.
Food.
Yeah. And the second was his mind, and the third, Satan went after his heart. There's a scripture that says, give me your heart, my son. It's just the opposite of God. Our heart really has to belong to God. You ever thought about those three before, pertaining to you, when God calls you? And our ego is tested. Are we going to give place to our ego? Are we going to be like Jesus in the temptations? I've really never thought in depth of it like this until this time.
Well, worshiping the Lord your God and serve him only, you know, if you flip that around, that implies that what else are we serving or attempting to serve?
Well, you could become a God unto yourself. I'll give you everything and you can be over everything. And Jesus turned it around. Now, being everything is not what's important. Serving God and serving him only, that's what's important. And that food story reminded me of, he started out with the food because he was hungry. It reminded me of that story of those brothers who sold his birthright for some food.
Yeah.
So that's been done before.
Esau, mm-hmm. Jacob and Esau.
And so the devil starts with something that's been done before.
So the birthright went from Esau to Jacob. Mm-hmm. To Israel.
And he loved food more than his birthright.
Yeah.
See, there.
He sold it.
He sold it. So that story has been used before.
You ever thought of telling a person after they become a son of God, don't ever sell your birthright? This is something you never You never sell. Hmm. You never put a price tag on it. You never substitute food for it or a temporary need for your birthright. That has got to be your birthright in Christ.
Yeah.
When you're born up.
And that's putting a pretty significant value on the actions that you take day in and day out. Because mm-hmm. what could that be?
Right.
What would that look like today?
You know, Landon, this is an interesting thing. Did you know that obeying your parents will be transferred to obeying God? And that's why it is important that you obey your parents, because it'll be transferred. And that's how you will obey and love God.
And meaning your parents are the people that are in authority. And so you listen to who God put in your life as authority. And then when we come and follow God, well, he's the authority in our life now. See what I mean? That's what he means by that transfer. It's the way of thinking towards authority.
Did you ever think of that?
Not really, no.
And it's interesting that that's the only commandment that has a promise with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a reward for us doing that.
So that it will be well with you upon the earth. And then the next one is it will be well with you forever.
Yeah. And did you know your parents are the only ones that have a love for you at that level? Your parents are the closest. Their love for you is the closest to God of any. Ours would be a brotherly love, but there's something about that love of parents for their kids that goes beyond that, that only the parents and the children can understand. You're doing a lot of thinking right now, Landon.
They have their best. They think the best for you.
So what's on your mind right now? What's going through your mind right now, besides being nervous, being on radio for the first time in your life?
He's speechless.
Here's one you can answer. Is it hard to answer questions like this when you aren't prepared for them?
Yes.
Thank you.
Andy will get it out of him. You know why? Because Andy's a big kid. And he understands kids. Okay, what have we got next? What's the next context?
Now, Landa, the next context is only two verses, 14 and 15. You think you can do that for us?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding districts. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all.
Do you got anything to say about that? Okay. That's what I used to tell Gil too. I did it on a live radio program. He says, Andy, do you have anything to say to me? And I go, not really. And Gil, you know what Gil goes? Okay.
He used to do that to me quite a bit.
I did it more than once.
He did it, and it was, he liked to play with me on that one. It was pretty funny. Why don't you keep reading, Landon? 16 to actually 30. He couldn't handle that.
And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes on the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all were speaking well of him, and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, Is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. And he said, Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way.
You know, passing through the midst of a crowd has to be a miraculous thing where he became invisible or changed his appearance. We don't know exactly how he did it, but it's a person could not do what he did. How would you like that sometime when there are a bunch of kids in the schoolyard ready to beat you up? I bet you wish you had that ability. So he opened a scroll, and he actually told of himself, didn't he? He picked the place in the scripture that told exactly, he told all these people exactly where they were standing, exactly what was happening. And what was happening? Jesus was starting his ministry. So he told him that he is anointed to preach the good tidings, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's able to tell them about the good news to the poor and proclaim release to captives. How many people on earth are held captive when they're born?
All of them.
Every single one of us are captive.
Yeah.
We can't leave the earth. Gravity. But also our father's sin, are missing the mark. We cannot hit the bullseye in our lives. And the bruised, we're all bruised. You know, I think everybody has had wrong done to them. Is there a man that has not had something done to you that's been wrong? So it affects you, it hurts you, so it actually starts carving out your personality and things that you get nervous about, or you're prejudiced about to certain people. Maybe a race of people has been hard on you, and there's a bruising that happens growing up. So it causes you to have an opinion maybe you shouldn't have towards other people. That's probably what's caused prejudice in the world today. So we've all been bruised. I don't think there's a nationality that has not been bruised, or a person, would you think?
No, things happen to all kinds of people.
That's why we're afraid to talk. That's why speech class is hard to some of us, because some kids have mocked us or made fun of us, you know, because of the way we say different words, or maybe our accents that we have. And they think it's funny. And, you know, I think kids can be really cruel around age 12. It's funny. They don't know what to do with 11-year-olds in school. Did you know that? 11 is probably one of the hardest age groups to go through. So they don't know what to put him in. They're a little bit too smart for grammar school. But this is where they start bullying, really, where bullying really gets bad. And you can't put him in with the younger kids because they'll pick on the younger kids. But then they go with the other kids. And there's something that happens in that adolescent. And we notice Jesus was in the temple at Landon's age. And you start to want to become a man at age 12. But your voice is high and your thinking can be, some kids are going to start thinking more like an adult than the other kids and they'll get picked on. And there's just some really confusing things that, you know, that happen. And Jesus has come to bring good news to these people that don't have any money or poor, been picked on, the poor esteem of themselves. What else can a person be poor in?
You mean poor in spirit?
Yeah. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. They don't think much of themselves. They wish they were somebody else. They wish they were Brad Pitt.
Do you know who Brad Pitt is?
A guy that was good looking or whatever. And release of the captives. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, this thing about the New Testament, I remember this subject being brought out, but the most amazing thing is yet to happen, and this of this three-year period, and the biggest thing that's going to happen is exactly what happened, all these three things. Jesus had three trials up here. Did you notice that? And then it says right here, people are poor, they're captive, and they're bruised. And this is the damaged situation. This is this is man's condition. He's damaged.
You know, and if you're poor, what do you not have? In some cases, bread, perhaps. And if you're captive, what are you maybe worshiping? Or what can you worship? And if you, and we're not to fight or put our Lord to the test, right? Lord our God to the test.
There's three things that Jesus was tempted on, and there's three conditions of men. And he said, today has this scripture been fulfilled in your ears? It will be fulfilled when he dies on the cross. The main focus of all this, of Jesus' life on earth, was the final thing that he did for us was to set us free through his death, shedding his blood, and being raised the third day. And they called him, is this not Joseph's son? So you know that he got adopted. He was treated like his son, even though he was not his physical son. He was the Holy Spirit gave him birth. So he was legal. He was legally, it satisfies all legal points to the law that Jesus was the son of Joseph.
You know, I thought it was interesting. He stands up, he reads the Bible, he says this, and he sits back down. He sits back down. He didn't stay standing. He wasn't like an orator. He sat back down, and he said a simple statement. Today has this scripture been fulfilled in your ears? Now,
that's all he says.
Today this scripture's been fulfilled in your ears. Now, here's somebody they've known his whole life. He's been in their town. They knew his mom. They knew his dad. They knew his brothers and sisters. They knew them all. And there he says, this scripture about here is fulfilled, and he's talking about himself. And the first thing they said here, and they bear him witness and wondered at the words of grace proceeding from his mouth. Sounds like they liked it, didn't it? They were getting into it. Isn't this Joseph's stuff? Doubtless you will say to me, then he says, doubtless you will say to me, healer, cure yourself. And then he said, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. Boy, he's going on it again. And then he says about the widows, what happened there, but only somebody outside of the country was taken care of. And in another place, Elisha says, only somebody Assyrian was healed. And all of the synagogue was filled with wrath. They were loving him one minute and hating him the next minute. And they got up and threw him, got him out of the city. Now, how do you throw somebody out of the city? What'd you do? Say, please leave? Is that what it said? It says they threw him out of the city.
And they cast him forth out of the city.
And led him up to the top of the hill where they could throw him over headlong. What were they wanting to do? What were they wanting to do, Landon? Throw him off a cliff. They were wanting to kill him. And that's when God didn't want him to die there because it wasn't time yet. And so what did Jesus do? He walked right through them.
You know, we're doing a survey, getting ready to write a book. And what would you do if you met Jesus on the street? What would he look like? And so most of the people in that synagogue would go, and he's a nuisance. He's a pain in the neck. He's my enemy. Let's go throw him over the hill.
He would have things to say that people wouldn't like.
Everybody thinks they're going to love him when they see him and when they really saw him. You ever thought of going back through the New Testament and asking those questions and then see what most people really will do? They say one thing, that they're going to draw a picture of somebody that they like, but it's not going to be what they're going to see. It's going to be one that will expose their bruised nature, their poor in spirit, but they're missing the mark. And really, so here's this whole synagogue full of people that wanted to...
that have known him his whole life.
Yes.
Really loved him. And then about a minute later...
they knew who he was. They knew he was Joseph's son.
Who do you think you are?
So he becomes a pariah immediately in their eyes because he told them the truth. And what did he say that was so bad? What in the world?
He told them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Doubtless you're going to say to me, healer, cure yourself.
And all he's saying is, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor, sent me to preach release to the captives, and set free the bruised. And he didn't say much more than that. I can't see. Well, he says what they're going to say to him. Doubtless you will say to me, heal or cure yourself. And through that, they wanted to take him and throw him over a cliff.
And no prophet has honor in his own country. He was talking with authority. That's what it was. He was talking with authority.
Well, our time has come to an end, and until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.